Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing to teach on how you can fulfill God's will for your life. And I have spent all of this week talking about this. I've shared some things that are really, really important, things that God has used in my life. And I know if you would receive this, it would help you to fulfill God's will. It's one thing to find God's will. It's one thing to start moving in that direction. But very few people ever finish their course with joy. Very few people totally fulfill what God has called them to do. The odds are against you, and it's not going to happen unless you make a deliberate determination that you will fulfill what God has called you to do. So I've been talking about some really, really important things. Today's going to be my last day to talk about this specific thing about just learn to obey God. And I want to use an example here out of 1 Kings chapter 17 about Elijah. You know, I just recently taught on this, and this is just one of my favorite things to share. I could preach on this for hours. Matter of fact, I have. I've actually got a series on lessons from Elijah that deal with this very thing. But I'm just wanting to extract a portion of this to make my point that if you are going to fulfill God's will for your life, you've got to learn to obey and do what God told you to do. So here in 1 Kings chapter 17 is where Elijah just comes on the scene. And I mean, he just shows up. It doesn't give you hardly any background. He just had a word from God. He walked right up to this king, Ahab, who had been killing all of the prophets of God. And he identified himself as a man of God. So immediately, he put himself in the crosshairs. He made himself vulnerable. But it's because he had a word from God and he obeyed it. Did you know God had already spoken to him? God didn't do this just on the spur of the moment. He wasn't just happening to walk by and then boom, all of a sudden God spoke and it came out and he couldn't do anything about it. God had spoken to him privately. He gave him this prophecy to deliver to Ahab, but Elijah had to act on what God told him. If Elijah would have just stayed in his prayer closet and said, "Man, God has given me a prophecy that there's going to be a drought for years to bring Israel to its knees." And if he hadn't gone and spoken this to the king, then when the drought happened, people would have just written it off as this is coincidental. They wouldn't have recognized that this was God's judgment, that this was God punishing Ahab for the direction that he was going and things like this. He couldn't have just stood up at the end of 3 years and says, "God told me that. I'm the one that prophesied." People would have thought, yeah, anybody can stand up and say it then. But this is during a time that there was plenty of rain, everything was going good, and Elijah already had a word from God, and he just went and obeyed and did what God told him to do, regardless of the personal damage that this could have done to him. It could have got him killed or put him in prison. But see, he obeyed God. And because of this, later on, I'm not going to give you the whole story. You can read it in 1 Kings chapter 17, 18, and 19. Later on, Elijah became the most dominant figure in the entire nation. The king did whatever he told him to do. You know why? Because he had a word from God and he acted on it. He obeyed it. He did what God told him to do. It would have been possible for Elijah not to do what God told him to do, and then things wouldn't have turned out this way, and we wouldn't have ever have heard of Elijah. But see, he went and did. If you are going to fulfill God's will in your life and see what God wants to be accomplished through you, you are going to have to obey what God tells you to do. So Elijah went and delivered this word, and then it says in verse 2 that the word of the Lord came unto him saying, this is the second word. The first word was about that there was going to be a drought for years until I say differently. Then the second thing that God spoke to him, he told him to go to the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And in verse 4, "And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." You know, I've got a great teaching on this that expounds on this and makes other applications. It's one of my favorite things to teach. But let me just extract a little bit of this, that God knew that Ahab was going to seek for Elijah to kill him or to imprison him once this drought took hold and began to start having its negative effect on the nation. And so God told him to go to this brook and hide himself there. And he says, I have, that means it had already been done, commanded the ravens to feed you there. Now God says, I have already spoken to the ravens. The ravens could fly faster than Elijah could walk or run. And so one of the ways that Elijah knew that he was at the right spot along this brook is because when he got there, there was already ravens that had brought bread and flesh for him to eat. But notice it says, I have commanded them to feed you there. God did not send Elijah's supply to where he was. He sent Elijah's supply to where he told him to go. You know, for us, for those of us with American football, it's like in football, the quarterback doesn't throw the pass to where the person is. He throws the pass to where the person's supposed to go. If you've ever seen that, you understand what I'm talking about. If you were to just see a receiver out there, and if you threw the ball to where he was, by the time he, you know, quit running, he'd be way over here and he'd miss the ball. You have to anticipate where he's going, and you throw the pass to where he's going, not where he is. This is what God did. God sent Elijah's supply to where he told him to go, not to where he was. And if Elijah had not obeyed God, he could have starved to death, or he could have been taken by the king and put in prison or killed. And yet, God had already spoken to the ravens, so the supply would have been there. I believe that the moment God spoke, instantly this supply started. But it was sent to where he was supposed to be, not to where he was. In other words, it was dependent upon him obeying God and doing what God told him to do. If he would have stayed there, he could have starved to death, and over at this brook Cherith, there could have been all of this supernatural supply. But the supply was there, not here. It's there where God told them to be. It's the same thing with us. God has told you to do certain things. If you know His will, if He has given you direction, then that is where God's supply is. See, I have people all of the time that come to me and talk about our Bible college, and they say, I really believe God has told me to come, but... And then they start telling me all of these things, and lots of times it has to do with money, with a job, with finding a house, with this, they got to do this, this, this. And they're saying, if God will just supply all of my need, if He'll just give me all the money that I need, and if He'll do all of these things here, then I'll go there and I'll go to Bible college. But see, it's like Elijah. God meets your need there, not where you are. God is not going to just solve everything and provide you with everything so that there's no faith involved. If God told you to come to Bible school, then you go to Bible school, and it's there where His supply is. The reason many of you aren't seeing the supernatural supply of God is because you aren't all there. Amen. You're too much here. You haven't taken a step of faith. You aren't obeying God. And it's the same thing. You know, when we moved from a little 14,600 square foot building, and that was back in 2004 when we moved into this present building that we're in. The present building here is 110,000 square feet. It was a huge, huge financial leap. Matter of fact, I was told, it didn't turn out to be this way, but I was told that our utilities on this building would be $19,000 a month. I think the most we've ever paid is around $10,000 a month. But you know what? My other building, I wasn't even getting $10,000 a month in total income. And yet God told me I needed to think bigger. So we moved into this huge thing. We felt like a BB in a barrel. Did you know what? A lot of people thought, this is crazy. You will never utilize this. I told people, I said, you give us 5 years and we'll be out of this. I missed it a little bit. It's now been 8 years. And we're in the process of building a new Bible college campus that has 100 or 230,000 square feet in the new campus. Plus, we'll keep this 110,000 square feet and we'll be filling it all out. But anyway, the reason I bring that up is to say that, see, when I was back over in this small facility and God was telling me to move there to this facility, I didn't have the resources at the time I made the decision. But I believe that just like Elijah, this is what he had told me to do, and God would supply my need there. Did you know, since we moved from that other place, I couldn't tell you exactly what it is, but I know it's 10 or 20 times as much income. Our income has doubled, tripled nearly every year and just continued to go up. Our supply was here, which at that time was there. God told me to do something, and when I obeyed Him, things have just exploded and we're so much better. Now He's told me to make another move and move up to this new facility. And did you know that already our finances have just exploded? This very first step, the whole project up there is going to be $53 million. The first step in it is $32 million. And did you know we're around $6 million or less away from having that completely paid for? By the time we get the construction done, it will be completely paid for. And did you know when I obeyed, then God released the finances and caused these things to happen. But if I would have just sit here, or if I would have been over in this other building, and if I would have said, God, you provide me with all the money that we need, and after you do everything, then I'll act, it never would have come to pass. See, I had to obey. I had to take a step of faith. And this is the point that I'm trying to get across, is that if you want to see God's will fulfilled in your life, you're going to have to quit leaning to your own understanding. You're going to have to start taking some risk. You're going to have to get a word from God and then obey it like Elijah did right here. And because he was bold and stepped out when it could have cost him his life, and because he obeyed God and went to this brook and did these things, he became the most prominent prophet in the entire nation. In the 18th chapter, he called Ahab and he says, you gather all the prophets together, you gather the entire nation together, and you do what I say. And they were following the leadership of this prophet. You know why? Because he had obeyed God. You know, you can see some people rise to leadership because our world is so messed up today that, again, the body of Christ has been more influenced by the world than the world is being influenced by the body of Christ. So even in the body of Christ, you can see people rise to the forefront who get there just because of their charisma, because of their religious style, because of whatever. And there's a lot of people that are being promoted in the body of Christ that I don't believe God is promoting them. But it's marketing, it's Madison Avenue techniques, it's this, it's that, it's all these kind of things. But I can guarantee you, you stay and watch over a long period of time. And I've now been in the ministry for 45 years. And over a long period of time, you'll see people come and go and things like this. But the ones who have stuck with it are the ones who are faithful, the ones who obey God. I can guarantee you, if a person is not obeying God, if they are doing their own thing, it will manifest itself. They'll wind up stealing money. They'll wind up being caught for something, put in jail for misappropriation of funds. They'll wind up committing adultery. They'll wind up doing something. Power corrupts people if they aren't submitted to God and obeying God. And so you can see some people look like they're succeeding, but over the long haul, I guarantee you, life has a way of just sifting out the people who aren't serious, that aren't committed to God. They will fail. They will be taken advantage of. They will be caught in their own trap. They're laying a net for their own feet. Anytime you don't obey God, you are laying a trap for yourself. It will come back. You know, earlier this week, I was talking about not bearing false witness and letting integrity guide you. Just have principles that you run your life by. And even if you're in a situation where it looks like you can get by with it, like you could cheat, like you could falsify things and get by with it, a man of integrity will not do that because his life is run by principles and he's made these decisions long before he gets put into that situation. So I taught on that earlier this week. But you know what? A person who doesn't have this integrity, they just go through their life. They think that they can get by with things. But again, every time you disobey God, you are allowing the devil to set a trap, to put a snare out, to put a net that you're going to be caught in. And the scripture says that if you tell a lie, it says that a bird of the air will take it and make sure that it returns back unto you. If that doesn't happen in this life, Matthew chapter 12 says, every idle word that men speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. More often than not, whatever you say will come back to haunt you in this life. But if it doesn't haunt you in this life, you will stand and give an answer for every single thing you've done when you stand before the Lord. There is no such thing as getting by with stuff. You may fool some people, but you'll never fool God. And over a lifetime, I guarantee you, if you live in sin, Satan takes advantage of that sin, and he only comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. One thing you can say about the devil is that he's consistent. He never gives anybody a pass. And if you give opportunity to the devil, if you open up your life through sin, through bitterness, through anger, unforgiveness, through all of these things that are contrary to God's instructions, I can guarantee you Satan is going to extract his pound of flesh from you for everything that you give him. I know that there's some of you that don't like what I'm saying. And if you're just looking with the natural eye, you can say that's not true. There are some people that are living very ungodly lives and they get by with it. You know what? It's really not so. You know, I was just reading something in a magazine. I'm not going to mention who this is, but some person that every person watching this broadcast knows. They wound up committing suicide. And, you know, it's a tragedy. And I mean, here we are many years later and people still mourn the anniversary of this famous celebrity's death. But as I was reading this article about him, and it was giving some of the things going on behind the scenes, you know what? This person was living in adultery. This person was doing some things, and some people see don't make these connections, but I guarantee you, you set a trap for yourself. I don't care how important you are, how talented you are, how anointed you are, whatever it is that you think you've got going for you, you start living in sin, and you have opened up a door, and I guarantee you, Satan will capitalize on this. And this person, from everything I understand, was a true believer. They didn't really live like it, but they had this background, and I believe that they were a believer. But nonetheless, they wound up committing suicide and tragic loss, died in the prime of their life with all of these things in the natural going for them. But it's because they thought that they didn't have to obey, that they could do things their own way. And there's many people that if I was to tell you who I'm talking about, you'd think, well, man, they just were so successful. Here we are decades later still talking about them. But you know what? It was tragic. It was a failure. They did not fulfill their course. They didn't fulfill what God called them to do. And I'm convinced that a large portion of it is because they did not obey what they knew to do. They thought they were above obeying the Word of God. They thought they were so prosperous and so rich and so famous that they didn't have to follow rules. And it cost them. You can look at nearly every movie star, all of these famous people, and they just somehow or another think that they're above rules. Another way of saying that is that they don't have to obey standards of morality, right and wrong. They still prosper, even when they do things wrong. But you keep watching them, and you'll find out that their marriages fall apart. Many of these people are alcoholics. Many of them have drug problems. They have to go into these rehab sessions. Many of them are, you know, there are some people that are just super filthy, stinking, dirty, rich from the things that they've done, and they still go into stores and steal things and shoplift. There is no necessity for it. They don't need it. But you just give the devil an inch, and he'll take a mile. You begin to start living in some level of immorality over here, and I guarantee you it'll wind up producing another level of immorality over here. I know that there's a lot of people that don't follow what I'm saying. They don't think this way. Well, you're entitled to your opinion, but I'm not going to agree with you or we'd both be wrong. I'm telling you, if you are going to see God's will fulfilled in your life, you need to learn to obey God. You need to follow His directions. You need to get a healthy dissatisfaction with your own wisdom and quit leaning unto your own wisdom. You need to humble yourself and recognize that you aren't smart enough to run your own life. You've been given the choice. God won't force His will on you. But the right choice is to say, God, I need You. Lord, show me Your will. Lord, show me what You want me to do. And you don't ignore the Word of God. There's some people that they want God to speak to them in an audible voice and give them direction, but they won't follow the direction that's already written down. Why would God give you a new word if you don't already honor the words that He's already given? People died to make this Bible available to us. Man, I'm thinking of Wycliffe that was burnt at the stake and other people who were persecuted because they dared to start translating the Bible into a known language instead of leaving it in a language that nobody could speak. And they were put to death. People gave their life to make this Bible available. And there are some of you that don't even read it. And there are some of you that if you read it, you don't follow it. You don't let the Bible get in the way of what you believe. Why would God give you these other words if you don't honor and respect these words? I personally believe that until you get to where you are living by what you know in the revealed Word of God, that God is not going to give you all of these other supernatural dreams and visions and revelations and audible voices and these other kind of things. This is the dominant way that we have of hearing God's voice and being directed by Him. And you just need to run up a white flag and surrender and say, I am not going to do it my way. Romans 3:4, I let God be true and every man a liar. I don't care if the Supreme Court, if your friends and relatives, if the church you go to, anybody goes against the Word of God, then they're wrong. God's Word is right. You need to let God be true and every man a liar. You need to go to obeying what God tells you to do. And if you want to fulfill God's will for your life, I guarantee you, you've got to be dogmatic about this. Our society, again today, just doesn't believe that there's absolutes anything. Morality is all relative to different things. And this has become the politically correct way of looking at things. And if somebody is dogmatic and says, this is right and this is wrong, they'll call you a bigot. They'll say all of these other kind of things. But I can guarantee you the things that were wrong in the Word of God thousands of years ago are still wrong. God has not changed His opinion on things. And if you are going to fulfill God's will, you need to get this mindset that this is absolute authority. I'm going to follow this. I will obey it. And if you are willing and obedient, now see, there's a difference between just being obedient. You could do it out of duress. You could do it under legalism and condemnation. That's not what I'm talking about. But if you've received the grace of God, and now you know that God loves you, and you willfully want to follow Him and obey Him, not because you have to, but because you get to, because you are a free moral agent and you choose His way over your way. If you can do it with that willing attitude and obedient, then Isaiah 1:19 says, you will eat the good of the land. Today's my last day to offer you this first teaching in our album on how to fulfill God's will. There are, I think, 5 teachings in here. The first one is about obeying God or learn to obey. If you'll listen, our announcer will give you that information, and please call or write today.
Andrew's complete teaching titled How to Find, Follow, and Fulfill God's Will is available in a brand new book for a gift of any amount. This teaching is also available in 3 separate companion study guides, How to Find God's Will, How to Follow God's Will, and How to Fulfill God's Will. They're perfect for home groups, Sunday schools, and for individual study. Not only are the entire teachings included in the study guides, you can also print off as many copies as you like when you download the PDF files from the included data CDs. Each of these valuable resources is available for a gift of $20 or more when you contact us. Go to awmi.net and click on today's TV offer to see all the ways you can get this teaching.
Let me remind you that today is our last day to offer you this first teaching entitled Learn to Obey. The album is entitled How to Fulfill God's Will. This first teaching is Learn to Obey. Now, we will continue to offer the album, my book, my study guides. But today is your last day to get this free CD entitled Learn to Obey. When we're offering one CD, we say for whatever you can give, but some people will not send anything, and so we offer everything one CD at a time as a gift to you. Today's our last day to make this first one available, so please call or write today.
Today's audio teaching is titled Learn to Obey. It's available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this CD free of charge. On today's program, Andrew mentioned his teaching titled Lessons from Elijah. This teaching is available on CD for a gift of any amount when you contact us. You can use your credit card to order resources through our website at awmi.net. While you're there, you can discover more product details and download additional free resources. Or you can order through our helpline Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, remember you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
As you can tell, I'm not in our studio today, but instead we're up in Woodland Park, Colorado, at the place that I've named the Sanctuary. And we're in the process of building a Charis Bible College facility. And I'm just convinced that this is what God has led me to do. I spent 4 hours today ministering in our Charis Bible College, and I tell you, it's exciting. I had a number of people come up to me and just tell about how this had just totally changed their lives. And we see this happen every single day. So I am committed to taking things that God has shown me and putting it into this Bible college. And so this is the first step. And I believe that together we're going to get it done and God is going to be changing people's lives.
Now is the time to call, write, or go to our website to join our family of ministry supporters. No one else can fill your place. Andrew is appealing to those of you who have been touched by this ministry to help him build this building debt-free. Our helpline workers are waiting for your call. Don't miss your opportunity to become a world changer today. Every gift makes you a vital part of everything taking place at the new Charis Bible College campus. Remember, you are the key, and there is no plan B.
It is not enough for you to have need. Need doesn't motivate God. God is motivated by His own love to meet our needs, and His power is available. But the thing that will release or appropriate this power of God is faith.